Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Amy and TJ. TJ on the mic. Now, Robach, right next to me on her own mic. How you feeling today, dearest?
I'm feeling good.
Oh, yeah?
Great, actually. Yeah, we've got a busy, fun week ahead. I'm excited.
Busy, fun week ahead. We have a busy, fun kind of episode ahead. In this episode, you're going to hear a royal Photoshop controversy that I still don't understand. We're going to get into when it's okay to date again after a divorce or after your spouse passes. Are you okay with your pilot taking a nap and the largest fine in the NBA this season? We'll get to all that. But first, Robes, you said the funniest thing in the world to me.
Oh, no.
Before we left the house today to come here, do you not even know what you said that was beyond hilarious? I held it in because I didn't want to give it up before we came and recorded the podcast.
You saved it for the microphone?
Saved it.
So the answer is no, I don't know. Oftentimes when I am funny, you tell me after the fact, and yeah. I don't realize how much fodder I provide.
This was funny.
It's a doozy, huh? Really?
I have not been feeling great for the past couple of weeks, really. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm losing more weight than I need to, a lot of running, and I know my diet has changed a little bit, done some things weird, but I ain't feeling well, right. And you were concerned about that.
I was concerned about that. I started Googling it, which we're told oftentimes not to do, but I came up with my non-medical opinion that you could possibly have some sort of vitamin deficiency because you don't eat meat. You very rarely do. And I know sometimes when you're vegan or vegetarian, you do have a bit of an extra effort you have to make to get some of those proteins that we would normally get from animal fat. So I was looking up that maybe you have a vitamin B12 deficiency or maybe you have a vitamin D deficiency. And now I know what you're laughing about.
There it is. Oh, here it comes, folks. Here it comes.
So
wait for it.
I came to the conclusion that I really wanted you to go to the doctor to get a blood test.
Okay. Is that what you want me to do, sweetie?
Yes.
Are you having a difficult time getting me to go along and get this blood work that you think I so desperately need for my health?
You said, you know good and well, I'm not going to the doctor. And so then I started looking up at-home kits you could order and you just have to prick your finger.
And when you came in the room and suggested that, what did I do? What did I say?
You laughed at me. But guess what? I have an announcement to make.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's so funny I didn't put two and two together that you were going to say this and I didn't know what you were referring to when you said I was so funny. Because I was worried about you and realizing how I felt worried about you, I went quietly, you were doing your thing, and I went onto the NYU Langone app and I made my appointment for my blood work.
Everybody!
I didn't even tell you that I did that.
There it is! There it is!
Wait, I'll tell you what it is.
You all, if you haven't been following along, last episode we had a renowned oncologist with us and a friend of ours, Dr. Komen, and we talked about the fact that Robach is a year and a half. Now, a year overdue, but you haven't had your blood work done for a year and a half, and you're supposed to get it done every 6 months as a breast cancer survivor. You're way behind, and now
With my oncologist, that's what she suggested. Everyone's different. So you can see right there, Tuesday, March 26th, Dr. Orat's 4 p.m.
There it
and
is.
And I did it
is.
Because I realized what it felt like, literally, in that moment, to be worried about you and hearing you saying, ain't no way I'm going to an urgent care. I'm not going to a primary care doctor. I'm not doing it. I'll just try to figure it out, wait and see. And I felt frustrated. And then I thought in my mind, and it's funny, I didn't admit it to you, but inside I was like, oh my God, I'm doing the exact same thing. So then I went and made the appointment.
What do I always say? I love watching your process.
When you said, I said something funny. I had no idea what you were referring
you,
to.
Because that is absolutely hilarious. Now, folks, please know, last episode we did, which not quite a week removed from recording it, but with 5 or so days.
I hadn't made the appointment.
We were on that podcast, and your words were, you know what? No. I'm going to take it further. I'm going to tell you how far along I was willing to take this today. From our transcript of the last episode.
Oh, my gosh.
TJ, what would your doctor say upon hearing you've gone a year past getting blood work done as a breast cancer survivor? Amy, she would tell me to make an appointment for my blood work. TJ, how soon? Amy, probably should call when I'm done with this podcast.
So it took me worried about you to make the appointment, but it worked.
This is why you should be in a relationship, folks. So they can save your life sometimes.
Are you surprised that I did that today?
I am shocked.
I didn't tell you.
Yeah, but the only reason it came up is because you're looking at, you worried about me.
Get a blood test. And then I realized I was the pot calling the kettle black, and I needed to go ahead and do something.
But this is great news. It is great to hear. Mm-hmm. So March 26th, we're going, huh?
It's happening.
All right. Well, I didn't think so. But Emma's sitting here with us, our producer, that you all hear us talk about, reference. To see it all take place in her face when you were coming around, like, I don't know, what were you joking about? No, I have no idea what I said that was funny. Well, then I said this, and then I said this. But
yes, the light bulb. You could actually see the light bulb go off in my head.
Yes, I love it. Okay, that is the health update.
Yes.
First, we started the week, I guess, is it busy that we started our week with was it an Oscars party? What an Oscars party.
It was like an Oscars gathering of your daughter, my daughter, and us. So it was a foursome.
So we watched this show. I'm not sure what I was excited about going into it. Actually, we were very excited about American Fiction, which almost completely got shut out, I believe, adapted screenplay. But still, great film. Again, you told somebody, I think, the other night, run.
Don't walk,
and go see this movie. But what were you looking forward to? The Oscars this year.
You know, usually I look forward to the red carpet and the dresses and...
We did have our most fun with that.
That's usually the most fun. I think one of my favorite moments was on the red carpet with Jodie Foster talking about being at a certain age where she just doesn't give an F what anybody thinks about her and how this is the happiest she's ever been in her life.
She was glowing.
I believe she's in her 60s. She looked fabulous, but whatever. You could tell she felt fabulous. And I love that idea. As women, you know, I think a lot of us fear getting older and being irrelevant and, you know, all of the things that come with aging. To see someone that vibrant, that successful, that amazing, and saying, and you could tell with truth in her voice, that this is the happiest she's ever been in her life because she doesn't give an F. I think that is the one amazing thing that comes at a certain point when you've earned the right to feel that way. And we all should be able to feel like that.
You there yet?
I'm getting there. No. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. I think after everything, when you start to, we've joked about the fact that when you get to a place where you've been talked about or everything, the worst thing you could think of has been said about you, there is a freedom to that because you're kind of like, well, everyone's taking their shot, so I don't care anymore. I'm not in the I don't care anymore, but I'm getting there. And I loved seeing her own it. That was probably my favorite part of the whole night.
It was on the red carpet, even before the show. Yeah. What about the actual show? What was your favorite part?
I mean, I know this sounds basic because I think this was everyone's favorite, but come on, it's Ryan Gosling. That was amazing.
There's no question.
It was so good.
It was unreal.
It was so good.
Oh my God.
And he was singing that. That wasn't him lip syncing. I mean, he really put on an amazing show. He went for it.
Well, I love that it's out of the norm for a show like that with a room full of those particular folks to see something that fun. And I love, though, that reminded me, I don't think I've seen a musical performance I enjoy that much since 3-6 Mafia. to have these dudes from the streets of Memphis in front of that crowd talking about his heart out there for a pimp was just beautiful television. But it was fun. It was different. And I still haven't seen Barbie. Yeah, but that dude last night makes me want to watch Sunday
watch it
night
again with you. I loved Barbie.
Okay, now I don't want to watch it. Never mind.
Not for the reasons you think, though. There was an incredible social commentary and female empowerment. I loved the movie. Well, if you want to watch it, I'll try not to talk and that's tell you fine. My favorite parts as we're watching it.
That's fine. Oh, you don't even look like you believe you.
Oh, my goodness. I just know. Yeah. We're at a point now. We went to the movies this weekend with your daughter.
Ugh.
And see, he's saying, ugh, because he told me and Sabine that he was refusing to sit in between us because we both talk at different times about different parts of the movie and he can't hear what's happening. But turns out he sat in between us and...
I didn't see much of the movie.
Well, I did notice it for the first time.
What?
I was laughing. Well, I would say something and then a few minutes later I look and she'd be telling you something. I was like, oh wow, we really do
that. I'm literally ping-ponging between you two watching movies. But anyway, I said at the top here, this is the Photoshop controversy. I don't fully a royal Photoshop controversy. I still really don't quite understand.
Okay, so I'm kind of really into this story.
Yes,
I had fun going down a rabbit hole looking at it because there was already conspiracy theories out there about Kate Middleton. She had abdominal surgery, according to the Palace, on January 16th, I believe. It is odd she was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks. That is not something that you would typically consider to be a normal hospital stay for that kind of surgery.
You said abdominal, though, right?
Yeah, but they didn't go into any detail. They just said it wasn't cancer.
Okay, didn't you say something about you didn't have an abdominal, or did you have an abdominal surgery?
Yeah, well, me and my medical history.
You've had everything.
I have had an appendectomy, and I have had, this is the embarrassing one.
Why is it embarrassing?
It's a teratoma.
Ugh.
It's really rare, and
I'm not
going to get into it, but I had to have that surgery, too.
Mm.
So I've had two abdominal surgeries. Now, I mean, I don't know what hers is, and of course, we don't need to know, but it just sparked a lot of conspiracy theories because it was an odd thing. And then, you know, you're probably the two most surveilled people in all of UK in terms of the paparazzi. No one got pictures of them going to the hospital, leaving the hospital. I think there was one photo of William visiting her, but that was it. So we haven't seen her. They said that we wouldn't see her until after Easter. But I think because they knew that there were so many rumors swirling about what may have really been going on or what's really happening, from she's dead to they're getting divorced to she's had plastic surgery. I mean, it's just whatever you want to call it.
Wait, I didn't follow that. You said they already said we wouldn't be seeing her till later anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. But I think just because they saw people speculating in that vacuum, that void of information.
All right, let's get something out.
Yeah, William, the palace's William, took the picture of Kate and her children, and they released it on UK's Mother's Day. But when you look at the photo, and to the point where the AP, Getty, Reuters, these major news organizations, they initially republished it and then took it down and said, we aren't going to disseminate this photo because it was manipulated from the source. So anyone who's gone on to look at it, like her hair is kind of fuzzy.
Sweetheart, I have been staring at this picture. I can't.
The hands are strange. There's a pattern in the tile that doesn't match up. So there
What's
was
the sleeve thing as well. I didn't understand.
There
that.
Was some strange thing. So it got it. Then that reached such a fever pitch that, and this is, I believe, almost unprecedented. Princess Kate actually put out an apology, saying, "Hey, whoops, guys, I edited it, and you know, obviously, I'm not that great at it. I'm an amateur," and left it at that. But that did not quiet all of the critics.
I find it hard to believe. I don't think they say she's taken photos before. But you really are going to let, I mean, knowing all the eyeballs are going to be on this picture, let William take the picture. He gives it to his wife. She plays around with it on her laptop or her cell phone to Photoshop it or do what she wants to do to it. And then what? Sends it to the press office. Say, hey, guys, put that out for me.
The controversy is going to continue, and the conspiracy theories are going to probably escalate.
I'm still amazed that she would be allowed to Photoshop. Like, I am going to work on this and give it back to you guys to put out. That just...
To your point, I don't think many people believe that she actually did it. Although she is now on the record because she put it out on Twitter on
saying,
whoops, that was me. My bad.
I'll take her at her word.
You might be the only one.
Wow. Okay.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the proper time? What is the answer to that question? If you're married, your spouse passes, how soon can you then start to date again and it not be...
distasteful?
Yes.
I don't personally think it's anyone else's business.
There you go. So there is no time.
I don't think you could ever say there is a correct time or a specific amount of mourning. You don't know, A, what the status of that relationship actually was. B, you don't know what it's like to be lonely. And sometimes, you know, when you're in those darkest hours, you reach out for comfort and then something happens. A relationship ensues that you didn't even intend to happen. So it's not like you're going on dating apps. And even if you are, okay.
And again, who are we to say about somebody else's situation? But we are talking about now somebody else's situation. And you just hit on almost the exact thing she said, this idea of loneliness. So we're talking about Kelly Rizzo, who is was married to Bob Saget. She was married to him for 3 years when he passed. That's been now a little over 2 years ago. And yeah, she's come out here recently and proudly and showing that she is dating someone now, did a red carpet official, I guess is what they call it. But she started getting some feedback, some criticism that she felt the need to address.
You actually did, and I remember you had such a beautiful interview with her right after Bob Saget's death, because it was unexpected. It was shocking. Yeah. What did you glean from talking to her about their love and their relationship, and what do you think about all of this?
You know, the thing from that day, the interview I remember most, is when we were done. I was with her for a couple hours. We were done. The crew was putting up and said bye to her. I thought she was gone because we were at the back of this house. Thought she was gone. I went back in, and she came back in and was in tears just in thanking me for the platform, thanking me for how we handled her delicately through the process. I remember that personal interaction, and that's when I saw, I guess, more of the pain of a woman who, she was so composed, and she cried a little during the interview, but she was so composed. But that's when she didn't feel like the wife of a star. She didn't feel like the actress or the podcaster, and she's a public figure in her own right. She didn't feel like that. She was a woman who just lost somebody she loved, and that stood out to me more than anything. So I was surprised you brought this to my attention. Like, she's being criticized to the point she had to come out. She put out a couple of videos on TikTok in which she was actually trying to explain her. That's not the right word. What's the right word? Like, defend her. Defend is the right word.
You know, and it's tough. Yeah, the fact that it's sad to me that she felt the need to defend herself, but I get it. I totally get it. But that is something that I feel like is just despicable. Mm. That anyone wants to weigh in on someone who's already suffered an extreme loss, that they don't get to be happy again, that they don't get to move on again. And from what I read, she even talked to his daughters, correct?
Yes, she
and
did.
And said, would this bother you if I started dating again?
She even said she wasn't open to the possibility for a full year. Like, just take the next year off the table. But she didn't, just to hear anybody questioning, again, I didn't spend time around the two of them together, but the time I spent with her, to hear anybody questioning her love of that man now that he's gone and she's has to move on with her life. And you talked about loneliness. I just can't imagine. Well, yeah, and I've stayed in touch with her ever since. She's just somebody I've always appreciated and adored. And Kelly, you're listening, do your thing, sister. All the love out there to you, but that was a tough one.
I'm sure you all saw, and so many of us travel, and the idea of one or two or both of your pilots falling asleep at the same time is absolutely terrifying, but that's exactly what happened in Indonesia. We should say no one was harmed. I think there were 153 passengers on board that plane, and it landed safely without incident. However, there was 28 minutes where air traffic control could not get a hold of either one of the pilots, and they actually veered off of course, which is disturbing, again, because they both fell asleep.
When they got back in touch initially, they said, yeah, we have some radio issues up here.
Yeah, it was the radio just malfunctioned. I don't know what to say.
Okay, now here's the scary part. All right. There are some places that do allow for pilots to sleep, to take naps while they are in the cockpit in their chairs.
And it's not in the United States.
Yes.
At least a little bit, it made me feel a little bit better. However, if you travel internationally, Canada is among the countries that allow their pilots to sleep.
I just wanted to scare people a little bit before I told them, don't worry about it in the U.S. The FAA does not allow for that at all. But there are arguments that, in fact, it's called controlled rest, that you should allow on a longer flight. Some of these guys maybe not getting all the rest they need or not as sharp. If there's a co-pilot right there, we got an autopilot, let them take a 30-minute nap sitting in the chair. Would you be comfortable with that?
I don't know. I think that's a tough one for me. I saw that if it's an 8-hour flight or more, they actually have beds, have a room for the pilot to go and sleep for 30 minutes. 40 minutes, I think, is the most they can sleep. And then they have to have at least 30 minutes after they wake up before they land, which I appreciate because anyone who's woken up from a nap knows you're not at your sharpest. So that is a little concerning to me. But sleeping while you're sitting at the control, that's creepy to me. And then who's to say the other one isn't going to fall asleep, which is what happened in Indonesia. So I just feel like, I don't know, I'm not comfortable with that. I do know that they say the power nap thing is good, you're sharper, and fatigue is more dangerous. But I think the most dangerous thing of all is having no one awake. I don't know. Okay. Hey, call me crazy. I even asked you, in what other profession where people's lives are in your hands, are you allowed to sleep on the job?
I mean, that's not an apt comparison. I don't think we can. I mean, firefighters aren't taking a nap on the way with the siren on.
Yeah, my surgeon doesn't need to take a power nap while he's got me open can be sharper. I don't know. I understand we should give pilots and anyone in that sort of like life or death responsibility of a job kind of thing, we should give them enough of a break that they have to go get those 8 hours of sleep each night. I mean, I know you can't police how much people sleep.
What was this guy's deal in Indonesia? What was it?
Well, so the pilot asked if he could take a nap, and yes, the co-pilot said, yes, I'm on it. But the problem was the co-pilot is a new father and said he had not slept much, as we all know what it's like when you have a newborn. And so he inadvertently fell asleep because he's a new father. Oh, my God.
You know the part that got me more? That one pilot was 32, the other was 28. I don't think I want any 28-year-old flying my plane. Do you remember what you were doing at 28? I wouldn't want 153 lives in my hand.
Yeah, I like a salt and pepper kind of a pilot. You know? I feel good when I see that. But that's when, you know, the older you are, the safer I feel. I just feel like that's the case. Call me crazy. I don't know. I'm a believer that I just feel like we should be able to say, hey, this is that kind of a job where your number one responsibility is to make sure you're rested before you get on that plane.
Okay. Last thing that I will present to you on this argument is the movement towards, and so many incidents, I don't have the number in front of me, of incidents on planes have to do with pilot fatigue. So does that make you want to have more of a conversation? You're still an absolute no, or, you know, maybe a 30-minute nap is good for all of us on board.
Oof, I'm sorry. The longer flights where they go and they go into the bed and the other person clearly knows that it's on them to be responsible, I don't feel comfortable with them napping while they're at the controls. I'm sorry, don't.
That's fair. It's like going to the bathroom. It's like marijuana smoke coming out of the cockpit.
I'm just like, I'm not going to be okay with that, ever. No, I'm not.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you're not going to be getting a lot of sleep here soon. Basketball.
Per usual?
Well,
or
no. Well, you're going to get less sleep than you usually get. But we're already getting a basketball headline before March Madness officially begins.
See, this is lovely. I'm not... You made the parallel, because the story we're talking about has to do with the NBA, which has nothing to do with the college game basketball that's taking place in March Madness.
It's all the same to me. They're people, and they dribble the ball, and they shoot it in the
hoop. Oh, if y'all could only see the gesture she made. How do they dribble the ball again?
I'm stirring you up.
Yes, they do it. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's the same sport.
It's the same sport.
Collegiate versus professional.
I get it. No. Right. I get it. But, yes, March Madness is starting. It's right around the corner. That's coming up. So, yes, I will every single game. Thank you, Turner, for doing what you did all those years ago. They put every single game on TV on one of their cable networks. You can see it all.
I know.
Every game.
I know. I even said, wait, why was I watching basketball this weekend if it hasn't even officially began?
That was Duke, North Carolina, but okay.
It was a good game.
It was a great game.
I'm getting into it.
But this is what the basketball headline is, that the biggest fine in the NBA has just been handed out for the season. The biggest fine of the year. And it goes to Mr. Rudy Gobert of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He has been fined $100,000. And he didn't say a word.
Oh, he just made a little gesture.
Made a gesture, just rubbing those fingers together.
Money, money, money.
And a money sign, and it cost him $100K. Now, before I get into details about this, like, who the hell was Rudy Gobert? Some might ask. And you didn't know the name,
but I absolutely asked that, and I did.
And as soon as I said who he was, you're like, oh, that guy.
That guy.
Yes, he is patient zero, I guess. in the NBA, when the pandemic hit, he was the young fella who was playing out in, where was he at the time? He was in Utah at the time. But COVID was happening. It was in the news. The NBA had not shut down yet. And after a shoot around, he was doing his interviews with the press. He got up from the press table where all the mics were set up and he touched them all. It was kind of a joke. He's kind of making fun.
Spreading my germs.
2 days after that, that young fellow was diagnosed with COVID. Two days, and the NBA shut down.
He shut down the NBA.
Kind of, sort of. It was going to happen, probably. Okay. But after all that, so that is the guy we are talking about now. But gambling, it seems weird to separate now gambling and professional sports.
It's still weird to me, though. I mean, I'll sit there and ask you as we're watching the commentators or even watching the game, like, what? What's that? The spread? I mean, just the fact that you can be gambling while you're watching the whole thing. It's strange to me still. And yet it's a huge business. And with that comes problems.
Yeah, but there's money. There are relationships now that the leagues have with these sports companies, sports betting companies. And all that's fine. Okay. But Rudy Gobert didn't like the way the things were going and the calls were being made in the game. So he is gesturing to an official, Scott Foster, and suggesting with the money signs directly to him. And of course, he got a tech, and later he was fined $100,000, which is the maximum fine allowable for a verbal act, if you will, for a technical foul type of a thing.
He was insinuating that the ref was making calls specifically to change the game.
On the take. Now, that sounds like a really outrageous accusation. And that there's no accusation being made here about that official, Scott Foster. However, Scott Foster was investigated, and he faced some criticism for his relationship with Tim Donaghy, who is the NBA official who actually went to prison for his hand in a scandal of fixing and betting on NBA games. Scott Foster and Tim Donaghy were close, so he had a part in that. So now Rudy Gobert is doing that towards that guy.
An extra rub. He knew that was a sore subject.
He probably did, and he knew not to do that. And he said afterwards, "I know I'm going to take a hit here."
Didn't it cost? Some people would argue that cost them the game because they went into overtime and lost.
Oh yeah. Oh goodness. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Look at you, reading
I'm getting better.
Look at that. You see the little shoulder shimmy there.
Although I didn't know what the money sign was. I was like, what could that be? I was trying to figure it out. And then when you rubbed your fingers together, I was like, oh.
Wait, what's your money sign? Is it more like this?
I didn't know what it was. I was like, what did he like make the dollar sign? Like, I didn't know. I was trying to figure out what the money sign was. So yeah, full disclosure, I'm not totally there yet, but I'm working on it.
Oh, we are working on a lot of things, and we are working on a lot of things this week. This is going to be a very exciting week. We should give this update. We have something exciting coming up here in town, here in New York. We are going to be putting on a little bit of a live event in which we're going to be able to interact with the public and take some questions and rub some elbows and maybe record a podcast in the meantime.
Yeah, we're going to have a live audience. Can we say where? It's Soho House here, and so it's open to members, and we're very excited about actually getting to do our thing in front of people who, we'll have a captive audience. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. They can't go anywhere. No, they could. They can leave.
There's going to be a bar dedicated to them in the room. They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. No. There's going to be alcohol served. That's right. That makes a lot of sense. No, we're really excited. We've never done this before. It's kind of taking podcasting and broadcasting and performing all in one. There'll be a little bit of a stage, and it's exciting. Hoping that we see some of you who are listening with us on Thursday, and then maybe we can see more of y'all later in the year.
And we should note as well, this is we are really excited about doing something like this, and we are going to be making sure that it is worth your time, should I say that. But it's a special enough evening that we both wanted our parents to be here. We can tell you that they are not going to be able to make it for reasons that we kind of discussed here already. But you just got officially word today. I got word last week. Yeah. Our parents can't travel.
Yeah. My mom, by doctor's orders,
yes.
My mom can't travel because she literally shattered her shoulder. And it's just been 2 months. They said it's going to be, she has 6 more weeks before she'll be cleared to get on a plane.
Yeah, it didn't. Certainly wasn't going to be able to get on a plane. So life happens. Yeah. Parents get older, and these are things that that do come up. The timing is bizarre that both of our parents are not, literally cannot travel to come
because
to New York.
You know our parents.
They'd be here.
They would you know, walk through fire to come see us. My mom and dad were so disappointed. I listened to your dad. Yeah. Your mom just called, actually, right before we sat down here to tape this, to record this. But no, they're devastated they can't be here. So, you know, we're hoping they recover, they get better, and then they can be at that next one I was talking about. We'll see where it is.
They might have to buy tickets to that one, though. but no, it's funny. You were talking about my dad. He did. He sounded so... Yeah. He was apologetic.
Yeah.
And that not being able to be here. But that's all right. Sorry, Pops. We're good.
And we are hoping that it'll be a fun night anyway. We'll send them the transcript. but we want to thank everybody for being with us today. As always, want to let everyone know you can follow us at Amy and TJ Podcast on Instagram. We have our individual ones. We're on TikTok as well, although we need to do a better job at posting some stuff. We haven't done it lately, so.
That's why we have Emma.
Yeah. But have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.